at some point of the message.
Stuff like that. Dear children, the last hour is here. You may have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that. For the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when He returns, will be full of courage and not shrink back from any shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand Your word. Help us to not only hear it, but apply it to our lives. Help it to change us. Help us to listen. Help us to remain under Your word. Remain under Your life.
Last few weeks, actually the month of June, we did not preach from our text in 1 John. We preached from whatever was our soapbox. But conveniently, this is kind of a soapbox for me, so we'll just say that it fits perfectly in with what we've been doing. We are going to finish the book of 1 John. We're not sure whether or not we're going to move on to 2 John and 3 John, 4th and 5th John. That stuff. We may, but eventually we're going to get to the Psalms and we're going to preach from some of the Psalms, and that's going to be fun. Well, I want you to think about this passage of Scripture, and if you put up the first part there, that'd be great. We're getting there. There it is. This is in the context of John talking about not loving the world. So the world and its treasures are fading away. Says that's not what you're about. You're not to buy in to the world. And when John talks about the world, he's not saying, you know, hate the trees and the mountains or hate people. Don't love the mountains and trees or the ocean or people. Thankfully, we don't have to do that. In fact, we're not supposed to do that. But what he's talking about, when John uses that phrase world, he's talking about the part of the world, the culture, the values, the beliefs, the perspectives of the world that's under the control of the evil one. And not to love, not to put your life and your heart into that which is temporary or into that which is opposing of Christ, what's opposing of God's values. Love not the world, meaning the values, treasures, and priorities of those who live for themselves. See, Satan is the ruler of this present age. Scripture says that very clearly. He's the one behind these values, these pursuits. In the first part there, the latter part there of chapter 2 that we finished already, it talks about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And he's talking about hedonism. That's the overwhelming value of this world. In other words, if you like it, do it. If you want it, get it. You deserve it. Hedonism, greed, and selfishness, and it's arrogance and self-centeredness. Really, I'm more important than you are. I'm the one the world revolves around. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what John is saying. He's talking to us. And really, John, you have to understand, in 1 John, he's talking to believers. He's saying, my dear children. He's talking to those who've already put aside the world's values and decided to live for Christ, who've given their life to Christ, put their faith in Christ. That's who John is talking to. That's why he uses that phrase, my dear children or my little children. John's probably pretty old at this time. And so he's got a lot of perspective on life, and he's got this pastoral heart. But he's reminding us, he's saying, John is saying, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through him, saying, make no mistake, there is a Lord of your life. It's either Jesus or yourself. And you do not have the strength or wisdom to see the enemy's tricks or tactics. And so John is saying here, there's a spirit of the Antichrist that has come. And that spirit is that of selfishness and hedonism. It's a spirit of denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that any area of your life that you haven't given over completely to Christ is really under the enemy's rule. Any area that you refuse to bring, or you're unable to bring, or you choose not to bring under the light of Christ is under the enemy's rule. That's heavy stuff. And the enemy will twist and contort and hijack. So in other words, if you say, God, you can have everything in my life, but my free time is my free time. The things I do for fun, that doesn't count. Guess what the enemy's going to do? He's going to take control of that, twist it, distort it, and use it, and hijack it. My entertainment, that doesn't count. I can do what I want to do. My relationships, the way I parent, sex, money. If you're not completely under the lordship of that, Jesus' lordship, the devil's going to take advantage of it. Have you given Jesus complete authority and rule in these? If not, the devil is taking advantage of you. He's eating your lunch. Remember a story from the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, and I've just finished reading Joshua again. All of you are pretty familiar with the marching around the walls of Jericho that Joshua and his army did. They marched around every day, and on the last day they marched around 7 times, and then they blew their trumpets and the people shouted and the walls fell down and they all went in, and Rahab was the only one spared, and that was because she helped out the spies. You remember that story, right? But maybe we forgot about this one guy named Achan. And Achan saw some stuff that he really wanted. He saw some clothes that were really cool. He saw some silver, and he found this wedge of gold, and he hid them under the floor of his tent, covered them up, buried them, and didn't tell anybody about it because, you know, nobody's going to know, right? And this stuff's cool, and it's not much, and it was going to go to waste. Well, the truth is, God had said, everything in that city belongs to me. And Achan said, yeah, but nobody's going to know. And this is cool, and it's what I want. I like it. But what happened was the Israelite army then went to take on this little town called Ai. And they only needed to send a few thousand because it was such a tiny little town. And guess what? They got routed. And they knew something was up. They knew that something had happened that shouldn't have happened. And so they ended up finding this guy, Achan. And it didn't end well for him, shall we say. The point is that he thought he could keep something from the Lord. His selfishness and greed not only hurt him, but a bunch of people were killed as a result of that. Now I'm talking about the basic principles of Christianity, and John is writing to people who have already decided that everything belongs to the Lord. But maybe there's something that they're holding back. Now, something interesting about John, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a theological lesson. There was a heresy that was arising during the late first century called Gnosticism, and it hadn't come to full flower yet, but the seeds of this Gnosticism were in place. Now tell me if any of these beliefs, these heresies, sound familiar. It was the idea that Jesus only appeared to be human, that he was just kind of more like a hologram, kind of like, I don't know, maybe this guy, EMH, the emergency medical hologram. That was cool. I don't know if you knew the doctor on Voyager. He could actually touch things and manipulate things and, you know, give people shots and that kind of stuff. So he was kind of a special hologram. It's kind of neat. Maybe that's what they were thinking that Jesus was. Those people who believed that were the Docetists, or the Docetists, and I think they were ahead of their time, you know, really. Another one that people thought that John was combating was that that Jesus was only a man. He was a good man, and maybe the Spirit of God came upon him at some point. But he was just a man. Now, if you think about it, these ideas are still prevalent today. A lot of people, a lot of cults, who believe that Jesus was a good man, or a great teacher, a great leader. There's a lot of other religions that believe that Jesus was just another prophet. But John says that those who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, he says that those people are antichrists. Those people are antichrists. In other words, what he's saying is if you don't believe God's promise that Jesus, that he would send his own son, that he'd be the anointed one, that he would be the Messiah, if you don't believe that, you have the spirit of the antichrist. Let's talk about Antichrist for a while. That's a fun subject. I don't know if you're like me. I grew up kind of with this idea, and I think the Bible supports it, that the Antichrist is this person that will come in the last days. Kind of an eschatological idea, that this Antichrist would come and he would be opposed to Jesus, and some people would be deceived, and he would do terrible things, that he would rule. And yet John is saying, yeah, he's not denying that that's the case. But he's also saying that there are many antichrists. Now, the Greek word antichrist, the idea anti, means a couple of things. It means not only opposed to, but it means replacing. So you've got anything that replaces or opposes Christ has the spirit of the antichrist. And what John is essentially saying is that anyone who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of God, has the spirit of the Antichrist. And John is talking particularly about some people who apparently fellowshipped and worshipped and hung out with believers for a while, and then they left. And he says if they'd stuck around, and if they'd continued to believe that Jesus, if they'd been able to express that, they would have been of us, but they weren't. They left us, because they were never really part of the body of Christ. And they were teaching heresy. And John wants us to understand that the most foundational truth, the most important truth that we can understand, in fact, he goes as far as to say, if you don't believe this, you're a liar. The most important truth is that Jesus is the Messiah, that God sent his Son, that this was his plan from before time was set in motion. See, God knew, as he created human beings, that if he gave us freedom, the opportunity to make our own choices, that we would screw it up. That would happen. In some way, we would do that, and that's exactly what happened. We would be susceptible to evil. We just couldn't resist the temptation. We're just a bunch of chickens crossing the road, because it's there, right? And we have a choice, but we're susceptible because it's more powerful than us. And it would eat our lunch. And he knew that we would need a savior. He became God with us. He sent the second person of the Trinity to become flesh. And as the Christmas carol goes, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. That means that God is with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. And those who trust Christ know this. We have the Holy Spirit. He's revealed his truth to us. But John uses this word for anyone who doesn't believe this is a liar. That seems like a pretty strong word. What he means by that is that that person doesn't grasp the most important truth that there is. Every other truth rests on this. If you miss this truth, you've missed the whole picture. You've missed what life is all about. You've missed the meaning of life. You've missed what we're here for. And if you don't have that, the best you can hope for, you know, for a relationship with God is getting everything right. Not ever doing anything wrong. Good luck with that. It's not fun. It's not possible. So what does God want from us? And how can we know that we're not falling away, that we don't take on the spirit of the Antichrist? Now, John has a word that he uses several times, and it's in this passage, and if you were paying attention, which I trust you were, you got it. He uses this word, remain. The old English word is abide or continue. Remain, abide, continue. And he's kind of referring back to John 15, where Jesus is using his teaching about himself being the vine and we're the branches. In that he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's talking about how if you don't remain in Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. You can do nothing of spiritual, lasting, eternal significance. So what does it mean to remain, and how do we do it? Remain, to abide, to continue. How do we do that? I've quoted Woody Allen before that 80% of success is showing up. Well, that may be a bit of an exaggeration. I think what remaining involves is showing up, remaining there and staying engaged. Thankfully, Jesus tells us what it means to remain in the book of John chapter 15. He says, remain in my love, remain in my words, and obey my commandments, and love each other in the same way that I have loved you. You want to stay in truth, you've got to stay in the light of Christ. You've got to keep your life open to Christ. And love each other in the way that he loved you. So in other words, stick around, stay there for people, stay with them, even when it's hard. Of course, this is going to sound self-serving, but I believe that you need to stay in the fellowship of believers. I think you have to do that. And I do think that there are valid reasons to leave a church. And I'm going to give these to you. Go ahead and take notes in case you're looking for a reason to leave this church. If this is one of those reasons, you have my blessing. I might be a little hurt, but it's legit, okay? There are several good reasons to leave a church. And I've thought about this because I've actually left a church or two. Sometimes with a little boost. That's another story. One of the good reasons to leave, maybe the best, is apostasy. We're not teaching the truth of Scripture anymore. We're teaching our own agenda. Then I suggest that you leave. You find another place to go and to fellowship. Because truth isn't there anymore. That's a good one. If we do that, then you should leave. The other one, another great reason to leave, taking notes, is if your leadership is untrustworthy. If you can't trust the leadership, if you think that they've got something hidden, our motives, if you can't trust me and trust the leadership of this church, you really shouldn't be here. You're not doing yourself a favor and you're not doing us a favor. One of the churches that I left from, did I just say one of them? Yeah, that's true. early on, I knew something was up with the senior pastor, and I just couldn't trust the guy. I knew there was just something untrustworthy with him. He came off as a real, as the person who was in charge of everything, and he was always right, and nobody else could ever be right, which, of course, my personality, I have a problem with that, but turns out that later he was hiding this great sin. We didn't figure this out until like 10 years later. He was hiding this amazing sin that he would go and gamble the church's money up at the casino. Yeah, that's not trustworthy, okay? So, you know, if there's something like that going on, you have my permission. By the way, I always win, so don't worry about it. Another one, and I really want to be careful about this. You guys are looking for reasons to leave. I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I'm providing you a service, okay? It's closed doors to service or ministry in that church. And I want to be careful about that, because often you can say, well, I always wanted to be the singer in the band, you know, on the worship team. And it's like, I don't think really God wants you to be there. Or I wanted to preach, and you're not mature, you're not ready for it. But if there are closed doors to ministry, and you really want to do something, and God is really using you, and you're maturing, and you're growing, I think it's time to move on. I think that's, unfortunately, often very common, especially in the modern church model. But I won't go into that any deeper, but you can talk to me. And then the final one that I think is a great reason to leave, maybe the best one, is if you have a clear call to ministry elsewhere, and it's validated by people you trust and other believers. In other words, you say, God is calling me to be a missionary in South America, and it's been on your heart, and the rest of your fellowship of believers affirms that. That happened with Paul and Barnabas. It's a pretty good reason. Now I'm going to give you some invalid reasons, okay? Reasons not to leave. And remember, John says remain, and he's talking about remaining. Remember, the context here is he's talking about these people who left and they went into heresy and they started preaching heresy. And I know that other people followed them, and he talks to the rest of the believers and he says, beware of this. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So he's not only talking about remaining connected to the vine, but connected to each other. And so, even though it's tempting sometimes because it gets difficult, here are some many invalid reasons, several invalid reasons for leaving. I'm not getting fed. Of course, here we don't have that problem, especially on the second Sunday. But spiritually fed, I'm not getting fed. You know, what I want to say to people who say that is, don't you know how to use a spoon? Now, I do agree that you want spiritual and scriptural teaching up front. But being fed is really your own responsibility. People aren't supposed to hand you the bottle. And it doesn't really work that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not growing on your own, you're not going to grow from what we preach here on Sunday. Not going to happen. If you're not feeding yourself, this won't mean much to you. I'm not getting in your face here, am I? Okay, here's another one. Here's another invalid reason. There's not enough people here like you. That's probably a good thing. Or here's another one. I'm too busy. I got too much going on. Too many things going on. So I'm not going to be able to remain here. Or I don't like the style. I don't like this, the way that they do worship here. That's not a valid reason to leave. And here's my favorite invalid reason, the last one. People are getting to know me too well. I feel exposed. What was that? Be careful. People are getting to know me too well. Isn't that the point? Isn't that the whole point? But this happens more often than I can tell you. It's happened here in this church. And over the years, I've seen a number of people leave for this reason. They felt exposed. They felt vulnerable. And I get that. It's tough. When you hang out with people for a while, you get to see yourself through their eyes. You begin to realize that, oh my goodness, I'm not the perfect human being I thought I was. You begin to see some things about yourself. And we encourage that here. Now, that does not give us permission to go around and pick on each other's lives and say, you know, Brian, get your act together. Here's this one thing I noticed about you. You have a problem. Of course, nobody noticed anything about Brian, but I'm making this up. Brian, you've become the new Kathy. I'm sorry about that. Are you uncomfortable with that? We're not supposed to go around and point out each other's sins. That doesn't do good things. But we are supposed to love each other. And what happens in this situation is, in a church where people actually get to know each other, where we don't put on the facade, we begin to feel vulnerable. And some people really struggle with that. And they go elsewhere. See, God uses us to open up areas that have been closed to Him. He uses us, each other, to expose those areas that we have kept hidden from each other and from God. He does that. And that's an amazing thing, and I don't want to sell that short. Now, many people have left here, have eventually found their way into another fellowship and have stayed there. I'm grateful for that. I'm perfectly okay with that. I miss them. But what I struggle with is with people who leave and they just never find another place. I look, guys, you've got to hang out. You've got to stay with it. You've got to remain. You've got to abide. And it makes people susceptible to the lies of the Antichrist. Well, in closing, what John is saying, he's saying, look, you have the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And listen to the Holy Spirit in each other. Listen to that. You know the truth. Now stay with it. You know that you need to keep your life under the light of Christ. You know you need to keep your life under the light of each other, even when it's difficult, even when you feel exposed, even when you feel vulnerable. Remain under the Lordship of Jesus. Remain in fellowship with believers. Is there something you're withholding from God? You know, sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know what it is that we're keeping from God. I get that. If you remain connected to the vine and connected to each other, God will show you. Beth will show you. No, you will learn. And we learn to be gentle with each other and show that love, that sacrificial love of Christ. Is there something you hold in your heart that you fear would make others reject you? Remain. Stay. Continue. Stay engaged. Stay present. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you give us your strength, because sometimes it's difficult when you feel exposed, when I feel that people know me. And sometimes when I feel they really don't understand me, Lord, help me to continue till they do. And help me to bring it everything before you. Lord, reveal those areas in my life and in all of our lives that we need to bring before you, whether it's in our free time, in our entertainment, with our finances, with our families, our relationships, with our jobs. Lord, help us to bring those before you and let you search those out in our lives. Help us to remain in your light, to not hide things from you. Lord, we want your Spirit to help us grow and become more like you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.